Welcome one, welcome all, step right up, ladies and gentlemen. Portal Gaming Podcast episode number 84 is coming at you right now. Portal Gaming Podcast is a podcast of a store called The Portal, which is located in Manchester, Connecticut. And for more information, you can log on to www.timemachineportal.com. Check us out on Facebook, The Portal, and on Twitter, at Portal Gaming 60. That is me. I am your host, The Brant, and I am the twit that tweets there, at Portal Gaming 60. Howdy, everybody. We want to let you know that Portal Game Podcast is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. And we are excited to be on that network. Hey, and I am joined this time by my co-host,
Kathy.
All right, and we are here with episode 84. That's a name I've not heard in a long time. And no, we're not talking about Kathy, because you were on an episode not too long ago.
That's true.
But we're going to talk about games that we haven't played in a while, and we may never play again.
Yeah, quite possibly.
How's that foreshadowing? All right, so there it is. Hey, everybody, it's good to talk to you all. Hey, Kathy, I am excited because this summer we are headed down to Orlando to Dice Tower Con.
That's true. I'm very excited as well.
This is your first full-fledged non-VonnerCon gaming convention.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
You haven't been to any of the other ones, so... What's your emotional status?
I am looking forward to it. Not sure how many hours in a row I am willing to play board games, but we'll find out.
Yeah, you're battling internally between 36 and 48 straight hours of playing games.
Sure, something like that.
Trying to find that magic number. You're a board gamer, though.
Yeah, one at a time.
True, yeah. You're a board gamer, then some food, then a board game, then a book by the pool, then a board game. Right? That's more your style?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, should be good, though. Yeah, so we are headed down to Dice Tower Con. You will find myself there, you will find Kathy there, and perhaps, not often, but you may stumble across Zephyr there as well.
Yes.
And Zephyr's kind of a little co-host of the podcast. She had a little segment like a year ago.
Right.
And we got her back on recently. And
yeah.
I think that recent one was good for her because I feel like she was kind of like, oh, it doesn't hurt. Like she had that mental like, oh no, everybody's listening to me. But she didn't realize like, hey, we could just be driving in the car and talk about a game.
So
hopefully we'll get a Zephyr segment continuing up again. Because I know she likes to play games and she likes to talk about games. She just... gets a little nervous about the whole world is listening.
Right.
I try to tell her, honey, we don't have a lot of listeners. You don't have to worry. But thank you if you are listening. So, there's that. Cool. Hey, we want to let you know about Tabletop Day. I've been stressing this a whole bunch. This is April 28th. And Kathy is also going to make an appearance there. So, If you're like, psh, Brian, psh, Brant, I don't care about playing games with them. Will Kathy be there? Yes, she will. So you can come and play a game with her. You will not be there for 24 hours.
No.
See prior conversation 3 minutes ago. But she'll be there maybe second half of the day-ish, hanging out. So, Kathy, you've heard of these people. Eric Sommer.
Yes.
Have you heard of AntLab Games?
Yes.
Have you heard of Rob Davio?
Yes.
Sweet. Can you tell me what any of those people do?
I know that Eric Sommer is part of the Dice Tower, I don't know, original hosts.
There you go. All right.
And he lives in our state.
Yes.
And
I know you know the other ones. I know you know AntLab is a YouTube channel.
Yes.
Right. And Rob Davio, do you know what he does?
Does he design games?
Perfect. Well done. Awesome. Yeah. Pandemic Legacy, Season 1 and 2, Fireball Island, the new version, Downforce, which I think you've played with the Gars.
Yep.
And many, many other games. Heroescape would be another one that you've played a whole bunch of. So, cool.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, all those people are in attendance. I sent out emails to them today to figure out times and when they'll be there and all that. So stay tuned for that. But that should be really exciting. So again, April 28th, midnight to midnight. Now, help me explain to people. What do I mean by midnight to midnight?
There will be games going on from midnight on one day until midnight the next day.
Thank you. The midnight to midnight is where people get confused. What do you mean? Like midnight, what time? Like they get confused. Like, so when the clock ticks from Friday to Saturday and when it ticks from Saturday to Sunday, we are open that whole time. In fact, if you really want to get it fixed, you can come Friday because there's Friday Night Magic and you can start playing games. And there's a crew that starts at 9, 10 o'clock at night.
Yep.
And rolls right over.
That is true.
Kathy will not be part of that crew.
I will not.
But she will be there. Otherwise, she, yes. All right, so definitely check that out. That'll be coming up close, because I'm actually going to, I didn't release last week's episode, so we'll get last week's episode out, this one, very quickly, trying to get an episode with Brian in here, and then the episode after that will be, I'm just going to record segments from Tabletop Day, including 5 minutes with Kathy.
There you go.
And we'll get a whole bunch of snippets of different people and put that one together for that day. So there should be a bunch of episodes coming out in a row here. That is my goal, to get back on par. I think that's it for events and what's happening. So we will move on to what's on your table. Got a pretty fun segment here today. So first off, just kind of random, I suppose. We played last night. We were going to kind of watch a movie, and I said, what if we play a quick game? And we said, okay. And we played a little Star Wars Destiny, which is the new FFG Star Wars dice and card game. And we were pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, it was fun.
It was really good.
Yeah.
So we have the two-player set that was kind of released. I think it was released like in the fall. As a promotional set for the new movie, The Last Jedi.
Okay.
To promote that with all the Star Wars, whatever, it's Force Friday. This came out. And it was kind of like at the time, oh, there's a new Star Wars thing, and everybody's excited. And then it was this, and it was like, ah, ho-hum. Like, Destiny was, you know, a year plus old, and people were kind of like, ah, you know, it's a little bit old by now. I mean, there's definitely groups that love it. And I had gotten the two sets really hoping to play this a bunch with Zaf. And the text on the cards, I think, is a little much for anybody. but yeah. A little bit for her. And it's funny, she loves Star Wars.
Right.
Right? She has Star Wars bedsheets and Star Wars everything and wants to watch the Star Wars movies. But there's something about Star Wars toys and games that just don't draw her in. She wanted to play Orchard with me, the Haba 2 and 3 year old game, more than she wanted to play Destiny in this case. But at the same time, she wants to play teenage-esque, you know, level strategy games.
Right.
So it's just interesting that Star Wars at that level doesn't draw her in.
Right.
So let me describe a little bit of Destiny. So essentially, you have a set of characters, then characters all match up with a die. And you're trying to eliminate your opponent's characters. Meanwhile, you have a deck. So since we're playing the starter, we had two characters each. I had Kylo and Phasma. And you had...
I had Poe, Dameron, and Rey.
And then we have a deck of, I believe, 20 cards here. The real game would be 30. And up to three characters. I think it's actually based on points down here. So you could have four if you had like a bunch of stormtroopers. And you can actually take two dice per character. So you're trying to eliminate them. They have different health values, and it's just a one-action game. Now, that was great for us because we love Ashes so much.
Right.
And Ashes is a one-action game. It's technically one action and those side actions, so it's kind of two. But either way, we kind of got that flow. I think of, like, the timing of doing these things is really important.
Right.
And that's where Ashes and this could throw people off because Magic or Star Wars LCG, you have your whole turn. Like, you're, okay, that didn't go well, but now I can back it up with this. But this one is like, oh gosh, if I don't do that right now, I'm in trouble. So, on your turn, you can play a card from your hand, which cards are as important as dice in this game.
Yeah.
You can activate a character, which is basically exhaust the character, or we're just taking the dice off the character. You roll them to put them in your pools. So then you can resolve dice in your pool. So what's neat is if Poe rolls a... range weapon die, and then you get another character that gets a, or another like support card that gets a range weapon die, you can resolve both of those at the same time to deal their damage. You can't do melee and range, but you can do those together.
Right.
Can discard a card to reroll dice, use an action that's on a card, and then you can claim the battlefield, which is you get to do a special ability, but you pass. So that's kind of what's happening here. And you just go back and forth. Once one person passes, the other person has like unlimited turns, collect a couple resources. That's probably the limiting factor of the game by far, is those two resources.
Yes.
Make it really tricky. So I could see making a deck of very cheap cards to be able to do that stuff. Also, your dice have... you have to spend to do that. But we found it really engaging. I mean, probably at the end of the day, you beat me significantly, but it was one of those, like, teetering, like, had I been able to do a couple other things or had dice rolled a little bit better, you rolled some really good dice die rolls.
Yeah, not entirely, though. I feel like with one of my characters, it was just misses the whole time.
That's true, yeah. But the key one, Poe, with his weapon early, was rolling well. So what'd you think? What were your impressions?
It was fun. I definitely enjoyed it more than I thought I would. It was interesting how each character had their own dice. And they were all different. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, and being a dice game and being kind of an Ameritrashy-esque game, right, as CCGs can be, it was amazing how much mitigation you could do with the dice.
Yeah, and you could manipulate the dice a lot. So it felt more like a card game than a dice game. The dice just felt like an added tool, almost.
Right. Yeah, it was like six options more than you roll them to see what happens.
Right. I mean, and there is some rolling, but yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't like that decided everything.
It's weird because the discussion is usually like Ameritrash games are output randomness. I say I'm going to do this and then roll the dice to see what happens. And Euro dice are input randomness. So like a Castles of Burgundy, I'm going to roll the dice and then decide what to do.
Right.
And Euro people, whatever, strategy, heavy strategy game, whatever you want to call it, they tend to like input randomness. And Ameritrash tend to enjoy the output randomness because it's like, well, in war, you don't know what's going to happen. and this game like is both. Because it when is. You activate, it's output, but then you don't resolve them. You could choose to resolve them, but you could also choose to manipulate them before you do that. And there's both reroll mechanisms and there's a lot of place mechanisms.
Yeah.
Just pick the side and roll. And there's a lot of manipulate your opponent's dice.
Right.
And so it was cool. Like I had a card like Clash or something and it was like spin one of my melee die to any side and move one of your melee die to a blank. But then you'd play a card that was like, turn your melee die back. So it was like, they're really, that really felt like a duel. Like we're trying to figure out what we're doing. So. Cool, you ended up beating me.
Yeah.
What other things to talk about with Destiny? I don't know. Our decks were generally interesting.
Yeah.
They
were small, so I mean...
We went through them.
We went through them all the way.
And I didn't find the cards too confusing. Like, sometimes you come across these cards that are like, place this card in the center of the table. Then, draw three cards from your deck. Then, if you drew this... trade with your opponent.
Yeah, no, it wasn't.
On the next turn, like pick this card back up, shuffle it into your deck. Like, it wasn't, you know, they weren't too heavy on that front.
I felt like once we learned the vocabulary of the game, it was very easy to follow.
Mm. And what about every die having a blank? That's one thing I've heard about. Like, there's no die that's immune to having a blank side. Did that factor in at all for you?
Oh, I guess I just assume that there's always going to be at least one. Like,
yeah.
They can't all be positive all the time.
Yeah, I think it's both just, I think people think of it as the chance. Like, oh, well then chance-wise I could roll nothing. But I think it's also so that your opponent could manipulate your die down.
Right.
Right. In terms of that, so. It also makes your decision easy. When your die's blank, you know you want to re-roll it or you want to change it.
Yeah.
Cool. So that's Star Wars Destiny. I'm down to play more. I know you're not a deck builder.
Nope.
But I have an extra copy of this, and I have the other ones. I wonder if this is something... I don't feel like it's overly complicated to build decks. You would pick three characters and or three dice, and then just throw 30 cards together out of, you know, 60 cards.
Right.
Just narrow them down. Do you think I could convince you long run?
I don't know.
All right. Why don't you tell us about two recent plays that you've had?
All right. So I think this was probably over Easter weekend. We were with your family, and we had, let's see, there were three kids there from like 7 to 9
mm-hmm.
age range. So we played Baron Park. So this is a game, it's a tile laying game. So you are building your own bear park. It's puzzly. You have tiles of different sizes and you're trying to fill your board and cover certain spaces and leave other ones open. So it was simple enough for the kids to play, but also interesting enough for adults, I think, too, because it's a puzzle aspect of it, thinking about how to maximize your points and efficiency and everything like that. I think everybody had fun who played it. So
it's a classic heads-down game, though.
Like you're not paying attention to what anybody else is doing. Oh, totally.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
And that's bad or good. That means it's very engaging. So like you said, on your turn or on other people's turns, you're thinking about like, oh, I'm going to do this and that and the other thing. Right.
Right.
I'm not superly overly worried. There's a couple of those like special tiles, the excavator tiles that like, you took it like that interaction. Right. But for the most part, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
But it's just good for people to know that. But I even told people, like, oh, if you get bored in your turn, just look at all the tiles, because the artwork's so fun.
Yeah, you know?
That I think it's Clemens Franz artwork. It reminds me very much of that. Like Agricola and all those.
Yep.
And it's just fun to look at the park, but you barely have downtime, usually. It's like, oh, it's my turn. Oh, okay. Like,
right, yeah.
Figure out what to do, so.
Yep.
Cool. What else did you play?
So that was Baron Park. And then we also recently played the newest edition of Guildhall, or I don't know if it's the newest. I can't mm-hmm. keep track.
No, you're good.
So Guildhall was a game. I feel like we played it a bunch when it was the first edition back in the day. And then we stopped playing it for a while. It's always a game I really liked. So it's a card game. And you are building sets of people. So the cards are all different types of people, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Occupations or just...
Yeah, fantasy characters, roles.
Yeah.
Yep.
And...
Classes.
Clatin, yeah. I don't know, assassin and alchemist, like...
Things I aspire to be.
An alchemist assassin. So you're trying to build these sets of people. The cards are different colors, so you need one of each color in each set. And the cards all have different actions as you play them. It's a really fun game. I really enjoy Guildhall, personally. So I'm glad we did that again.
Yeah, the new edition's like an interesting overhaul. It's like, I'm glad they made a new edition. I don't know. You said the iconography doesn't bother you. It doesn't really bother me. I don't mind trying to interpret it, but sometimes I interpret it wrong because I don't look up. But they do have all the cards in the center that tell you what everything does, which is a great addition for people
so
they
can
read it.
Yeah, that helped.
And it was very take that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, but it's fun. All right, cool. I played from Renegade Games. I played a game called Byzance. And I mean, nothing is as fun to say as that. Byzance. So, or Byzans, I don't know, it's B-Y-Z-A-N-Z. I thought it was something to do with bazaar, but I don't think it is. But it's like a bazaar. So you have a deck of cards and a whole bunch of commodities or goods. There's fruits and vegetables and clothing and material and all that kind of trading good stuff. And it's essentially an auction game, a short auction game. So the different goods are color-coded. So there's blue and green and brown and yellow and purple, and I don't remember how many sets. And then there are merchant cards. So merchant cards are wilds that are worth nothing inherently. But they can count as any other set. So what you do is we played with five players. So you've got five auctions that are going to happen, and everybody's going to win an auction. You can only win one. So you have cards in your hand, and each card is one of these colors and numbered one through four, except the merchants, which are zeros. And so you start the round by dealing five cards off the top of the deck, and those cards are up for auction, and people play cards in front of them. I'm going to play my two to bid two, and somebody says, I'm going to play a two and a one to bid three, and blah, blah, blah. And then when it comes back to around me, I can add another two. I can't pick up anything that I played. I can add a two to go to four. And then whoever wins the bid, this is a little bit confusing, their cards that they bid go to the market, organized by color, and the cards in the center come to them, sans one. One of those cards. So I only get four cards on a five-card bid. And one I pick goes to that market as well. And then I'm number five. And everybody plays all the way down. When you get to one, that person wins automatically. They don't spend anything. But the one card goes to the market randomly. Then, in reverse order, or in one, two, three, four, five order, everybody gets to pick a set, a color from the center, and take them into their hand. So the one gets no cards, but first pick of what's out there. Whereas the five, it happened to us, didn't even get anything. What you're trying to do, the whole point of the game, is to get three of a kind, three of the same color, and then you take the two lowest numbered out of the deck and score the highest. So if I have a four, a two, and a one, I take the one and the two of purple out, and I score the four. I can also use merchants as wilds, so I can get rid of a merchant to count it as a purple. And there's like 16 of those in a, I don't know, 120 card deck or something. Or I can get rid of three merchants and I score one of them worth 5 points. So the wilds can be worth even more. You can hold seven cards in your hand, so typically you're not scoring immediately. You can score, like if you go over to nine cards, you can score right then and there to get rid of cards and get yourself back down. And you just play through the whole deck. So I think we played 6 rounds in a five-player game. And then you just total up your scores. So it's all this set collection. But again, I just playing so many auction games lately, whereas normally if you ask me about auctioning, I just think of that blind bid. Everybody put your fist in, show, up, oh, I bid four and you bid five, my four are wasted and they bid zero. You got it, but my stuff's gone. But there's been so many bids. This one was great. Like it was super engaging. It plays five or six people. Again, I like the speed of these auctions, so for an auction game, I think you would really enjoy this game. I think it's a great, like, waiting for people to come, or, oh, we have five and six, what should we play? And it doesn't feel like just playing like a party game or something. It has thought. So, Byzants from Renegade Games. All right, are you ready for our big clash here?
Yeah.
Portal clash. We've got two games, two big old 4X games that we played this past week,
Yep.
and we're gonna run through them. So, what were the two games that we played here?
We played Civilization and Rune Wars.
Nice. So, just to clarify, we played the 2010 FFG Civilization game because there's also New Dawn,
Yes.
and there's also like older versions, like Avalon Hill had like an advanced civilization and whatnot for those. So, I'll take us through both of these just quickly.
Yep.
So we chose Rune Wars first. What attracted us to Rune Wars?
I like the fantasy theme.
Yeah, so these are actually both FFG games, Fantasy Flight. So yeah, so I kind of just said, okay, hey, here's a bunch of big heavy games. I'm on vacation this week. Let's play one. We like the fantasy theme, so we went Rune Wars. We played it before.
Yep.
Who knows when? Had we not played it this week, it would be on this list of games we haven't played in a long time and may never play again. So, Rune War is a big epic game. You got to get six dragon runes. Dragon runes are kind of a fewer assigned onto the map. You got heroes, you got armies. So, Kathy was the elves. I was the You have a name. I don't remember what it was, but I was the Waquar, which were skeletons.
Do you know what Latari elves.
Oh, there you go, Latari elves. And it basically brings you through seasons. So you play spring, which is apparently a season, just not in New England right now. summer, fall, and winter, which winter seems to be like spring for us. We just had more like snowish, sleetish, ice-ish, rainish.
Grossness.
Yeah. And you play through these seasons. Each one has an inherent ability. So like in spring, all figures stand up and you get all your tokens back from the board and whatnot. In summer, your heroes go on quests. In the fall, you like shuffle the deck that you have and you get more influence. And then in the winter, everything freezes so you can walk over lakes and rivers. But you gotta have enough food to feed your army, and that limits. So you can only have whatever your food limit is. You lose people of that value. So essentially it's a battle game, but FFG did a cool job of trying to come up with like outside the box things. So instead of rolling dice, there's like this fate deck that you draw from, and your figures are either circle bases or rectangular bases or triangle bases or hexagon bases. Mm-hmm. And when you draw a fate card, it has all sorts of information, one for each of those and one for the questing. And I don't remember what else is on there. And you can trigger abilities, or they can deal damage or not. So you don't really know, and you go through combat. And then it also has, like, an initiative system. So your heroes are traveling around trying to do quests to gather artifacts or talismans or just straight-up dragon runes.
Yep.
It's a little bit random in that sense. And then the other big part of the game, I guess, are these order cards. So you have 0 through 8 order cards. Each season, you can play one. At the end of winter or the beginning of spring, you get all your cards back.
Right.
Playing them in order benefits you because you get a supremacy bonus. So you get some additional, recruit units twice instead of just once. Or whatever it is. You can play them out of order, but then you don't get that bonus. And those cards are battle and defend and gain influence and hire new heroes, all sorts of things. So that order system is really interesting.
Yep.
The battle system and the fate card is really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That is Rune Wars. Do you feel like I missed anything? Major? Can duel each other, but that was a weird...
resources.
Mm.
Tiles.
Yeah, you have like these resource dials.
The enemies, like...
There's neutral enemies that are out there. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. But all in all, it feels like that 4X Conquer Fantasy... asymmetric powers, yeah. You know, races, all that. So that's Rune Wars.
Yep.
And this, I think our edition is the 2010 revised. I don't know when the original game came out. Oh, and we play with the Banners of War expansion, which adds commanders, adds more units,
yep.
And things like that. Then we played Civilization, and Civilization is a 4X game, very much based on the Sid Meier's video game. Have you ever played a Civilization video game on the computer? Probably not, right?
No.
Like the official Sid Meier's Civilization? No. Yeah. That's interesting. You would love that game.
Yeah.
You'd eat that up. Yeah. Civilization, you are, I guess, going from prehistoric, or I guess it's really like Stone
ancient
Age.
Times.
Yeah, ancient times up through. There are tiles that are out on the board. And I guess, yeah, Rune Wars has the variable setup with you draw tiles and then you play them as part of the game, whereas Civilization, you kind of start with a basic setup of tiles that are randomized and face down.
Right.
Civilization, you're trying to reach one of four goals. Economic victory by acquiring wealth. Technological victory by getting space flight first.
Mm-hmm.
Cultural victory by moving up a culture track by acquiring culture and trade. And military victory by taking over any person's capital. Of course, in a two-player game, that means the other capital, which is not an easy feat.
Right.
And it plays through rounds that are simultaneous, which I guess is similar to Rune Wars, because Rune Wars, we both play our cards, and we each take an action and then move on. So there's 5 actions in a round. Start of the turn, you can build new cities is the main thing, or change your government.
Mm-hmm.
Then you gain your trade. So those things are basically, those you know, just compulsory. They just happen. Then city management's interesting. So every city you have, which you can have up to 3, gets a single action, one of 3 choices. building units or building a unit or a new building.
Yep.
Or a figure for the map. Units and figures are slightly different. Devoting the city to the arts, which is not a permanent thing, but a temporary devote to the arts to gain culture.
Yeah.
Or harvest a resource. So there's surrounding resources, and the resources can let you trigger your technologies that you gain. Then everybody moves. There's a player order. You move your figures around the map, which are armies and scouts. Scouts can build new cities and just scout and send resources home, the mm-hmm. space they're on. And armies can fight and discover tribes and huts and things like that. And then everybody researches simultaneously. You spend your trade to gain a new technology. And the technology tree is really interesting because it's pyramid style. You build level ones, and then two level ones can stack a two on top. And then three level ones can stack two level twos, which can stack a level three.
Yep.
And eventually you want to get that whole thing up to 15 to put flight on top as a five. And that's how you can win. Sounds easy, but it's a lot of rounds
right.
to get there. So that's kind of time sensitive, or you've got to find a way to do that. It's a bunch of culture cards and other things that you can trade. Asymmetric powers, starting with actual countries or nations, civilizations.
Yeah.
So you have an asymmetric power there. And then there's a battle system. And the battle system is actually pretty interesting.
Yeah.
You get these cards that are armies, mounted units, range, I'm not sure what that's called exactly, and then aircraft. And as you level them up, they're like four, I don't know how to describe that, it's squares, so they're like four-sided, and they increase in strength. Yeah. And then it's like a rock, paper, scissors thing. So it's not a perfect system, but it's like, oh, army will beat cavalry, I guess? Mounted? Which is weird.
Yeah, that is weird. Archers can...
Yeah, archers I'm beat sure. cavalry, whatever it is. Yeah, we can't remember. We should probably be able to figure it out. But they first strike. They deal their damage first, and if the other unit dies, then it works. And then they'll deal their damage back. But you play out all your cards, which is a limiting factor based on some upgrades and the number of units you have. But you can keep... They face off against each other, basically. You play one, and then the opponent plays one.
Yep.
But you can keep... Like, you can have infinite little battles. So yep. You can just keep going down the table, and then whoever has the most strength left over wins. Most of our battles were just somebody was going to win, and it was trying to eliminate units to make them pay the price. But at the end of the day, battling was just like, oh, you could take one thing from somebody in the field... If you attack their cities, you could do a little bit more. Of course, if you attack their capital.
Right.
There was that piece. I'll comment on that now because I don't want to forget. So there's a lot of really good, like, built-in defense. So it's your capital has, like, plus 14 or plus 12 defense. So somebody's got to come with a force of that size and beat that. You, like, add that to their final strength. It draws extra cards. So normally you can only draw three cards. So you have a deck of cards and you can only draw three. And then with upgrades and bringing extra units, you can draw more. But a city itself just draws like an extra two or three automatically. So they have a bunch of cards. You don't even have to defend. So they did a good job with that where you're not like constantly going like, oh, shoot, I messed that up. Like, I should have defended against you. You know what's coming. You know if the other person's more powerful and it's just an inherent or inevitable right. thing. In terms of that. What did I miss in Civ?
Wonders?
Yes.
And buildings.
Yeah, so buildings get built. You put your capital down, and then in the outskirts, which are the eight surrounding squares, everything mm-hmm. is orthogonal in this game, you can upgrade. So maybe there's a desert that gives you one trade, but you can put a trading post that gives you two trade and a culture. Every turn. And then you can build wonders, which have kind of text abilities. Mm-hmm. From now on, all of your warrior units are upgraded, or whatever right. it is, right? Yeah. You can draw an extra card in combat, these kind of things, and then give you culture as well. When you devote to the arch, you can gain those culture tokens. So there's that. So I think both of us would agree, comparing these, we were hands down in favor of which one?
Civilization.
Yeah. We really liked Civilization. I really, really liked Civilization. in fact, I won.
Yes.
Kathy won Rune Wars.
Yes.
And I think we were both disappointed when I won the game. Not like, I don't think your disappointment was, oh no, you won. And my disappointment was like, I wasn't excited. Like, yes, I won. It was like, I want to keep playing.
Yeah. I think it was funny. So because there were the four different paths to victory, I feel like sometimes it's hard to tell if you need to kind of divide yourself among them to stay kind of even. And I felt like in this game, you didn't necessarily have to do that.
No, plow for one.
Like, just pick one and go for it. So I think that was part of my issue, was I was trying to keep it kind of even across. But we discovered at the end that wasn't the way to go.
Yeah. But yeah,
which is cool.
Like, I want to play Civilization again.
I do too.
Like, soon, and like Terra Mystica, just try a different
Civ. Oh yeah, definitely.
I don't think they're super asymmetric, but they're enough to guide you.
Oh yeah.
You know, I wouldn't put it in the Terra Mystica camp of like trying to figure out yours, but it's like, oh, I guess I'm going technology with this. Like,
yeah.
They're giving you a tech bonus. You can't not use it. Mm-hmm. You know, so you kind of get stuck in that. The choices were just great. The flow.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we basically could do everything simultaneously. City management, you're technically supposed to do in turn order, but you could basically just prep. I'm going to do this, the other thing.
Right.
Movement definitely needs to be in order.
Yes.
That was key.
Yep.
And then the research at the end, you could. Mm-hmm. Lots of mitigation. Now, there is supposed to be a trading element in two players. I was just like, I'm just never going to trade with you.
Right. Yeah, so that wouldn't.
We're able to play faster. So, Rune Wars, I still liked Rune Wars. I would want to play Rune Wars again, but this felt like a bad two-player game.
It did. Like, and I'm tend to prefer two-player games,
right.
And the map just felt too small. Options felt rather limited. Yeah, I felt like we kind of got stuck a little at some points.
Well, you hit the nail on the head with the ways they limit you in this game. Made it no fun.
Yes.
So they were smart because they were trying to limit you to not let that power just really build up.
Mm-hmm.
Like a Euro, a terraforming Mars, or an Orleans or something, where you're just significantly more powerful than at the start.
Right.
They tried to limit that to not let people be too powerful, but that made it inherently not fun.
Just kind of frustrating all the time.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'd like for it to make this thing really good, but I just feel like I'm never going to get there because it's like a plodding, slow growth.
Right. So when you move, like, units in this game, you put a token down, everything moves there, which is a la Twilight Imperium 4 and some other FFG things, which is a cool mechanism.
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
Oh, everything moves here and then it's locked, and that keeps you from being able to move again. And then when you can play a card that's like, ooh, manipulate that for one turn, you're like, sweet.
Yeah.
But then it's stuck there through spring, and so if you bring 7 units in and win a battle, and your food is on 3, then 4 of those units just die off. There's
right.
Nothing you can do. And that's fine. You need to know that. So it's like, don't win a battle by a bunch. But then it's like, well, is every battle going to be a skirmish instead of a battle? Like, there's no
right.
Helm's Deep here, you know, where I just have a whole bunch of units going against a whole bunch of units. And then the order cards are cool because it's like, oh, I definitely am making decisions. But sometimes it was like, well, I can't harvest, or I have to harvest before I recruit, or vice versa,
right,
whatever it
yeah.
is. And so it was just no. It just wasn't as interesting to
right.
to pick all that. I'd be intrigued to play it with 4. I'd be intrigued to, like, get heroes. I like the hero system, but again, it's weird that it's just kind of random whether I'll get a rune or not.
Mm-hmm.
And they built in things like, oh, if you have 3 artifacts, you can trade them in. Or you get these talismans that you bring back to town to trade in for runes.
Yeah.
So they tried to make it, like, questy.
Right.
But then there's no heroes that fight.
Right.
So you don't have that interesting piece. So.
Yeah.
My
hero died on the first turn.
Yeah. And my stronghold died on the second turn.
Yeah, exactly.
So we definitely had some bad luck things happening. So, yeah, but I was like, when we played this, I was like, oh, I definitely want to play again. And then when I played Civ, I'm like, no way. Like,
yeah.
I'm just going to play Civ with you again.
Yeah.
All right, so Civ at 4.
I don't know. I think I would. It depends on the four.
Well, let's sieve non-AP, four non-AP players.
I think I would. Yeah.
It flows pretty well. The city management and the movement phase would definitely slow down.
But you'd have a bigger map.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it would be good.
The expansion actually plays five, but we'll just go to four for now. yeah, I think it would be fine. I don't know. Again, I think there's a lot more heads down in this game. So I think Rune Wars with four would be a lot more like we're clashing in these small skirmishes, but we're not taking each other over.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be a lot more interactive. I don't think this one gets interactive till later, although the trading would be interesting. Like, oh, I've got two extra trade. What can you give me?
Right.
Right? And the cards that are like gain a tech from somebody else.
Right.
I was playing those on you and we were equally gaining tech.
Right.
But I could be like, I'll play this one on John and then I'll play this one on Kathy. Right. And then I'll play this one on Sydney, whatever. And so I gave each of you a tech but gained three.
Right.
I would feel like that was a better system. And what about playtime for this?
I honestly don't remember how long it took us, but it didn't feel long.
It didn't feel long. You're fully engaged.
Yeah.
So, in fact, there were times where it was like, we need to pause so that I can pee. We need to pause so I can make lunch.
Right.
Or whatever, right? Like, I'm just going to make a quick sandwich or whatever, but we need to actually pause. Not, oh, you take your turn, I'm going to go do these things.
Right, yeah.
You were so engaged that...
Right.
Or, hey, I'm going to run out, do this on my turn for me.
Right.
I think we're about in the 2-2.5 hour range, and that was with explanation.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually a pretty easy game to explain. The symbols are right there.
Yeah.
And I was really impressed. I want to get the other expansion, if possible, to add to it to see what else that does and try this again. So.
Cool.
So last thoughts, Rune Wars, Civilization, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I wanted to like Rune Wars more than I did. And I was very pleasantly surprised by Civilization.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, we had played it before. Jeffrey was very little, I remember, like when it came out.
Right.
And we had your mom come over and watch her, and we played it. It just didn't stick in my head after 8 years.
Right, yeah, no, me neither.
It just, it's not a game that I was like, oh, I remember. I just remember being like, oh, it's kind of a big, epic game, and, you know, where was the payoff, but it was definitely good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really liked Civilization. I'll quick compare it to Civilization New Dawn, which came out this year, or last year, I guess. Play that. So Civilization New Dawn is a fun game, and I would play it. But not only does it streamline Civilization, it waters it down a little bit to me. And Civilization: A New Dawn is much more of a Euro. Like, the mechanisms are much more Euro-y and not as much like Civilization. The technologies aren't as interesting. They're kind of stuck and locked in, whereas you have more options.
Mm-hmm.
And so it kind of does to New Dawn does to Civilization what, like, maybe not Castle Burgundy dice game, but Castle Burgundy card game. Something like that does to Castle Burgundy. Like, totally fine, I get what you're going for here. But if I just have a choice of which game do I want to play, and there's no other limits, I'd hands down play Civilization over New Dawn. I'd hands down play Castle Burgundy over dice game or card game.
Right.
So there's that. Cool. That's our takeaway. So Rune Wars versus Civilization. We both highly, highly recommend Civilization. Enjoyed it greatly, and it will be coming back out on the table in the next couple months.
Yes.
Because it was really fun, and we're excited to play that again, so that's going to hopefully make the regular rotation. Hey, let's keep rolling along. We're going pretty long here, so we'll jump right into our discussion topic. So we talked about a game that is going to make the regular rotation, even though it's kind of bigger and heavier, but let's talk about games we may never play again.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go back. I'm going to go to our teenage years.
Right.
Because we hung out as teenagers. And I'll just throw a couple out there.
Yeah.
Catan.
Yep.
Munchkin. Rapido.
Yep.
So gamers will know the first two for sure.
Yep.
You remember Rapido?
I do remember Rapido.
Want to describe a little Rapido for us?
It's kind of like Pictionary with Play-Doh.
Yeah. Just let that sink in for a second. Because it's like, oh, Pictionary, yeah, I know that with Play-Doh. What? But the best part is when you beat the... So both people are trying to mold the same thing.
Right.
When you beat the other person, there's the little plunger thing. and you take the dough from the other players.
Oh, I forgot about that.
So we've each got an equivalent chunk of dough.
Right.
And then we win, so we get this little... And I mean, when we were teenagers, that was like the war. Like, no, 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 you took a scrap extra. And so you take the dough from the other team, and when the other team is out of dough, you win.
Yeah.
So eventually you start trying to sculpt Marco Polo out of, you know, a square centimeter of dough. Meanwhile, the other team has this unlimited source.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know where that game is, but I feel like that would actually still be a hit.
Yeah,
if we could find it.
I think it would, honestly. Because that's
a funny game.
I bet we could make it with...
That's true. Dough. Yeah, yeah. And just Pictionary or something. Yeah. We could do that. Cool. What about Catan and Munchkin? Because we played a ton of those games.
I have to say that was my reintroduction to board games. Because I played games a ton as a kid. Kid games. But I did not in my teenagers at all. And then when Anselm brought Catan...
Die Siedler von Catan.
Yeah, we played it in German. Yeah, it was fun. And that was definitely my reintroduction to board games and Munchkin.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, we played a ton of them. And they were just a blast at the time. I mean, we played Catan like multiple times in a day.
All the time, yeah.
Munchkin, we... didn't, but we played pretty epic, like, 1.5-2 hour games of Munchkin.
Yeah.
So Munchkin definitely wore out its welcome. I mean, we will still laugh at Spiky Knees, right? Like, that still...
Yes.
That was fun, and you'd see that card, and every time you'd get a new player, and you'd get them to yell it too, or whatever. Right. So it definitely had that element. But the end just got old with, like, who's gonna win on the random wheel of fate? Like,
once everybody runs out of their
stop you
helping
cards.
And
yeah.
stopping.
And cards. We never had a good rule for, like, the bag. Like, what you can hold and what you have to pass.
Right, yeah.
Because I always thought they were clever in the rule where they said, if you can't hold an item, you don't discard it. You give it to the lowest level player, which is a great catch-up mega. But we always found some excuse, like, oh, I can hold a sword and I can hold an extra this and that.
Right.
So I feel like it should have just been no bag. If you give something up, you give it to the lowest level player and everybody get back in. Now, Catan, let me ask you this. Do you remember Settlers of America, Catan? Where you start on the East Coast? We played, like, Justin Wright's copy.
Vaguely.
And then you move west?
Yes.
And then the houses, like, move across the country with you?
Yeah.
We really enjoyed that one.
Yeah.
There's a copy sitting at the store.
Oh, really?
And I wonder how fun that would be to play with Zephra.
Oh, maybe.
To try. Because... Catan, to me, really the only part of Catan that gets a little strange, there's two parts. One, the trading gets meta.
Yeah.
And like, well, I perceive that you're going to win the game, so I'm not going to make good deals with you.
Right.
Because it's fun when you can just make all these crazy deals. Like, when we were teenagers, it was like, I'll give you a wood and this, and I'll go get you a soda from the fridge. Yeah. Like, or whatever, right? Or like, whatever, I'll, you know... give you two putts in the next Frisbee golf match. Or, I don't know, something silly. Whatever it is, right? You can have a handicap in Smash Brothers. Like, I don't know, whatever it is. So you could do that fun stuff that, like, I don't know, when you're adult and you're playing, I guess you lose a little bit of that because you don't have the same group all the time, right?
Yeah.
Those summer days with teenagers, it's like every day we're hanging out. So you could just carry that stuff over. And then the second is just the inherent, like, you have to get to 10, and the scores are 9 to 9 to 7 to 3.
Right.
And there's just always that person who's far behind.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like, now my mental state is just, if I'm at 3 points, I'm just not trading with anybody, and you just roll the dice to figure out who wins. But again, then it removes the fun trading element of it. So, there are those. Cool. Well, I mentioned Smash Brothers, but I'll put video games in there. Super Smash Brothers. We'll never play Smash Brothers again.
No.
But that was a thing.
It was.
That was a thing. And I think both of you and I were in the same boat of like, I did not play Smash Brothers except when we went to hang out with that group.
We were not in the same boat because I did not play video games.
Well, that's true.
until I played that.
I mean, you used to bite the buttons thinking that's how you held a controller, but...
No, I did not.
But I just remember being like, yeah, just give me the biggest handicap you can and they'd still beat me. Because I hadn't played it a bunch, but that had its day. Cool, what have you got on your list?
Well, I know back in the day, we also, speaking of video games, we played, WoW, World of Warcraft.
Yep.
A ton.
Mm-hmm.
And that is one, I don't know, like, I loved our characters and everything, but, yeah, there's just, it's a time thing, and you're paying per month, and I don't know, that I don't see that coming out ever again for us.
I think the cost is the bigger hindrance for
us.
Honestly, because you're paying $30 a month.
Right.
And we used to be like, well, we don't go out to eat, or we don't do this, but now we don't go out to eat, and we don't pay
for it. And we don't have time.
Right. Time is definitely,
it's definitely
an issue.
Yeah.
But cost, if it was free, we may find some Fridays to sit down and play or something, right?
Like, yeah, totally.
We might still do that, or have two computers running that can even play it.
Well, yeah, that too.
But what a great game World of Warcraft was.
Yeah.
I mean, we had some classic experiences.
Yeah.
You tanking, me healing, vice versa, like all that kind of stuff. And we played a lot. Like, we played like over 6 years or so, I would say, right?
I don't know that I was in it that long, but
I know you were. I think in and out, we would always like figure out, are we signing up this month, or are we not? Now,
right.
Some people would say sign up for a whole year and then it's $12 a month, but we just couldn't do that.
Yeah.
That's just a crazy commitment. We'd look at our month and be like, are we actually going to play this month?
Right, yeah.
And then commit to playing, you know, five, six, 7 days or something to make sure it was worth our money. We weren't really like the come home from work, start playing, you know, especially when you have kids and other things. So couldn't do that as much, but there was that. Yeah, World of Warcraft, we won't ever play it again, but it was awesome. All right, how about these ones? We played a bunch of these. I was thinking of like the Twilight Struggles and some of those games, but we'll talk about those, some of the more modern games. How about Careers and Payday?
Yeah.
We played a bunch. I don't remember that was.
We bought a Payday game at like a tag stand.
Yeah, and then we played it like days in a row.
Yeah.
Didn't we play 12 months of Payday one time?
Oh, I think we did.
To go through a whole year, we played like epic Payday.
I think we did.
Got pretty old to like do the same deals every...
Yeah, totally.
So, Careers I still really like. Careers is that mechanism where you decide like fame, love, and money.
Mm-hmm.
And you dish it out, and then you go through like college and space and all this stuff and try to get... It's a pretty solid game for a roll and move game.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. What else you got on there?
Well, this is back to... This is kind of like party games, but I'm thinking about Scattergories and Taboo, or games that we played at family get-togethers so many times. And now that you bring a bag of games to every family get-together, I don't see us ever playing those again.
Yeah. Yes. Scattergories doesn't really intrigue me anymore. It's always just a giant argument of whether that word fits the category and you can use that letter.
Yeah.
And it's just a giant, like, how can I make this alliterative even though it's not?
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Like, angry ants a marching. Like, things at a picnic, you know? Like,
right.
Okay, ants. But angry ants a marching is not, which, yeah. Like, that stuff is just. Just open for, you know,
yeah.
So, like, it's fun, whatever, people want to do it.
Yeah.
Taboo's cool, though, although I think we're just
but
totally times
that
up now.
Now that we played Time's Up, like,
that's
like
the game.
Taboo plus,
yeah.
So I think it's better.
Although we need to play that banned words game.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's like the other people come up with
those.
Cool. Eclipse.
Eclipse
is the reason that Kathy won't play space games.
It's not the only reason, but yeah, there was just, I liked that game when we first played
it. You thought you liked that game.
Well, yeah, when I got to just play the game, then there was this, how many players was it? Was it six players?
I think so.
And that's probably why I only two
days
now. It was so...
Like 11...
Miserably
to 13
long.
Hours long or something.
There was so much AP...
I listened to 2 playoff baseball games while playing the game.
I have lost my mind during that game. and I haven't played it since.
Yeah. Cool. What else you got?
I don't know. I was just thinking back to, like, other games that I played growing up. We used to play a lot of trivia-based games.
Bibleopoly.
We did. We did have Bibleopoly and Bible trivia. We also had a geography game. It kind of reminds me of Timeline in that you're just learning facts that you don't know. But it had a card for every country in the world. So it's outdated at this point. But each card had, like, the language spoken and the capital and the currency and population. And as many of the facts as you got correct on the card, you could move forward or something. But I loved that game. I don't know why.
You were a fact memorizer.
As a fact memorizer.
Nice.
So, I don't know. Stuff like that that I used to really enjoy.
Well, I'll ask you about some of your epic or long games. Get Eclipse out of your brain.
Oh, gosh.
And I guess we could put Civ in there, although it doesn't end up being too epic
it
and too long with
like
two.
It was that
but
long.
How about some of these that we have played? You may not remember them, so that's fine.
Mm.
But, like, Twilight Struggle.
Yep.
And I'm thinking back, like our, what the heck is it called? Engagement days, I guess,
right.
Is what you would say.
Sure.
Whatever you want to call them. But back when you had that apartment, we played, like, Twilight Struggle, War of the Ring.
Oh, yeah.
What are some of the other epic games of that nature that we would play? Now they tend to be, like, Euros that we're playing.
Right.
And I guess Through the Ages, we probably played the third edition.
Yeah.
Right? Back then. Are those games... So I'm trying to pulling on the games that are like, will we ever play these again? Or do you think you're done with those games? Like those...
I don't know. I don't... I think part of it is that you bring new games to the table so many times that to replay... games that are, like, so-so is not something I'm gonna do.
Are you calling Twilight Struggle, War of the Ring, etc. so-so? You can. You just don't remember.
Yeah, I mean, I remember Twilight Struggle because we played that. A bunch of times.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I would call them so-so.
All right, there you go. So they probably will never get played again. I did play War of the Ring recently with...
I don't see Jason. You not playing Twilight Struggle again.
It's a great game.
I know you like that game.
Yeah. Got anything else on your list?
Not really.
All right, how about some modern want-to-plays? So I don't know that I'll ever play these again, but these are like the modern style. So Trajan, Ben keeps coming around wanting to play Trajan. We've talked about, I've had Trajan in the house.
Right.
Trois, Navigador.
Yep.
I don't know if you'll ever play Hansa Teutonica again.
I will. That wasn't fair.
How about this one? I see this at the store all the time. Pantheon?
I didn't actually play
the
that
The feet
one.
With the feet?
Yeah, I didn't
and
play
the,
that
no?
one.
No? Okay. And Eminent Domain. Do you remember that deck builder with the spaceships, the Eclipse spaceships in it?
Yeah.
We played it when we lived on the other half of the Martin's house a bunch.
Yeah.
So those are, like, games that I always think, like, oh, I want to bring those. I mean, there's a whole bunch for me that's a list, but
right.
Do you have any of those that you can think back that we used to play that you'd want to play again? There was a little bit of a gap when we had Zephyr, like, at 0 to 2.
Yeah.
Where you were, like, putting her to bed and going to sleep.
Yeah.
And I was staying up playing games with people, so there was, like, a year or two of you weren't really...
Yeah.
...as involved.
That's true. I don't know. I'm not good at remembering games, and I'm really not good at remembering names of games.
Do you remember Trajan?
It's the one with the, it's the Mancala type.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's, you'd play it again, right?
Yeah, I like that one.
Do you remember Navigador? Or Concordia? Concordia, where you're sailing around with the ship and you're playing cards and collecting resources, and then at the end, all of your cards score points. Okay. So Navigador was like sailing around with ships. And I don't remember the other ones I said. Trois was the die roll. You're not going to remember Trois.
No.
So. All right. That's a boring way to end a discussion. So we'll call it there because we just gabbed for an hour.
There you go.
But I think it was a good one. So we will roll to the end. Yeah, there you go. So games we may never play again. Games that are on our table. Civilization will not fall into that category for us.
No.
We'll see where Rune Wars ends up.
Yeah.
Oh, I have a game that we'll never play again, but we love it. Pathfinder Adventure Card Game.
Oh.
We beat it.
Yeah, we did beat it.
And we're not moving on to the other boxes.
No.
It's done. We can't go there. I think there's three or four sets.
Yeah.
We can't. It was like, what, a 4-year commitment for us to get through it?
We but we did it. Through the end.
We got through the whole thing. Well, not really. I mean, we had fun at the end.
Yeah. That was one, is another one where I felt like there was more room for growth for your character.
Yeah,
and
it was slow.
Couldn't grow. So it was weird.
It's a game that had no right being fun, and it was fun.
It was fun.
And when we tried to play with other people, it sucked.
Yeah, nobody else liked it that we played it.
But we had a blast. And there were times I agree with you at the end where it's like, well, I'm a warrior, and here's chainmail, but I don't have constitution, so I can't pick it up.
Right, yeah.
That was frustrating. But whatever. Like, it's so fast.
Yeah.
You don't care. And it was just fun. Once you knew your character, you could just fly through it. Because your character felt like an RPG character. Like, I know my character. I know my die rolls.
Oh, yeah.
That's how it's going to work. So.
I know my card, my deck. So familiar. Yeah, totally.
Yay! Fun way to end. So, if you want to see Kathy, then come to International Tabletop Day, post-noon, post-4 p.m., who knows, when she's going to show up. And she'll be there. I'll be there all day, but I'm boring to see. And if you are in the Orlando, Florida area at Dice Tower Con, you can play a game with her there as well. Just not two in a row.
That's true.
She can't handle people for that long.
One game.
One game. Yahtzee.
Oh, gosh.
She'll play one game of Yahtzee with you.
Interesting choice.
But we're going to present a Dice Tower Award, I think.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun.
Yeah.
And help out with the auction, which is cool because we can help with a cause, which is totally us. So, there's that.
Yep.
Sound off for episode 84. What was the title? That's a name I've not heard in a long time. What do you got?
That's
it. Alright, where we go. So until next time, this is the Portal Game Podcast. I'm your host, The Brant, and with me is...
Kathy.
And we hope you step into the portal. Portal Game Podcast is a product of Time Machine Toy and Hobby Store / The Portal, which is located at 71 and 60 Hilliard Street in Manchester, Connecticut. This episode was recorded on April 16th, 2018. Please send any questions to us at portalgamepodcast@gmail.com. Portal Game Podcast is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. For more awesome podcasts, visit www.dicetowernetwork.com. And hey, thanks for listening!